What's up, everybody? Welcome to our Sunday morning online worship experience. We hope you're having a wonderful week. We hope that your start to this brand new year, 2021, is off to a great start. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here's something really cool. In two Sundays, the last Sunday of this month, the fifth Sunday of this month, January the 31st at 11 o'clock, we're going to have another Food Pantry Sunday where we're going to come together and serve the community and serve people who have needs and serve people who are hungry and hurting and going through a difficult time. So if you know of anyone who could use some help, Sunday, January the 31st at 11 o'clock, we're going to have a Sunday food pantry. We're going to have all kind of cool stuff there, just like we did the last time. We're going to do it the same way this time. We'll be worshiping there together, serving there together. So if you would just like to have some fellowship and you would like to help us come and be the church and serve and hang out with your fellow Water's Edge people safely and in a very responsible way, then come help us serve, man. We need you. Show up. This is our way to meet together and worship while our building is still being worked on and getting fixed until we can get back into our building safely. They're working on the roof right now. Once they finish that, then we're going to be able to get back in and start planning those types of things. And so they're already on that and doing those types of things and so working on that. And so just stay tuned in and we'll keep you updated when it comes to that. But until then, we're going to be doing these Food Pantry Sundays. And our next one is January the 31st at 11 o'clock. So if you can serve, come serve. If you have needs, then you come and get whatever you need. Man, we love you and we're going to serve our community. And that's us being the church. We're so thankful for that. And we do that with no strings attached. And we do that because we're trying to show this world the accurate picture of who Jesus Christ is. Man, I grew up with some bad religion. And it gave me these pictures of God and these pictures of Jesus that were just not the correct pictures of God. They were just not the correct pictures of Jesus. By the way, anything that doesn't look like Jesus is not God. God looks like Jesus because Jesus was God in the flesh. And so, man, the way Jesus loved, that's how we want to love so we can honor God. The way Jesus prayed, that's how we want to pray so we can honor God. The way Jesus had compassion, the way Jesus had empathy, the way Jesus would serve and feed people and love people and welcome people and forgive people. He did that, and we want to follow his example so we can honor the Father in heaven, so we can honor God. And when you start to do that, that's when you find your peace, and that's when you find your happiness, and that's when you find your joy. When you know that your life at the core of who you are is honoring God and walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, that's peace, that's joy, that's happiness. Man, that will lift up your spirits and help you conquer any giant that you face in this life. And we're all facing giants. In Psalm 55, man, the psalmist said, if I could fly away, if I could have wings like a dove and fly away and just rest, if I could just go off to the wilderness and just get away, then I would. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever wanted to just fly away and rest because everything was so overwhelming? Where's my purpose? Where's my joy? Where's my reason to wake up and live? We find that when we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, when we love like him and worship like him and pray like him and serve like him and accept like him and have empathy like him and have compassion like him. I want to encourage everyone right now. We're going through a difficult time in our society. Let's be like Jesus, man. Let's love like Jesus all around us. People that are different than us and think different than us and believe different than us and have different opinions than we are, they're still going through battles and they still feel the same type of pain that we feel. And they still feel the same type of hurt that we feel. And they still have the same type of struggle that we all have. We're all going through very similar things right now. Let's survive this. Let's beat this. Let's find our purpose again. Let's find our joy again. And we find that in serving Jesus Christ. You know, every speaker, every pastor has a passion, something that they love to talk about. We have to talk about many things because people are going through many things and the Bible addresses many different things. And so we have to talk about all different types of things, but there's usually one thing that every preacher loves to talk about. Man, you could just tell them, talk about this. And if it's their passion, man, they can just go off on it. Some preachers, they do that about money. That's not us. But some preachers, when they open their mouth, all you hear is money, money, money. We don't do that. Some preachers love to talk about revival. Some preachers love to talk about worship. Some preachers love to talk about, serving or things like that. But for me, my passion, what really gets me going, has always been the cross, and I'll tell you why. The cross is the radical example of love, and I just believe that love wins. I just believe that love conquers everything. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. The cross was the perfect example of sacrificial, radical love. If you've ever turned inward and you've ever wondered, why isn't things working out for me? How come I don't feel loved? How come I don't feel valued? How come I don't feel worthy? Something that always gets me out of my self-pity, something that always gets me out of my sadness and my down times and my depression, is when I focus on sacrificing for the people in my life like Jesus did with radical love. That is joy. It's joy, especially when you do that with no expectations and no strings attached. When you can love somebody with sacrificial love, expecting nothing in return, then when your life is over, they can say one thing about you. You were a good man. You were a good woman. You were a good person. They loved, they sacrificed with no strings attached. People tell me that about my dad all the time. That's the way my dad loved. My dad's last words to our neighbor was, "I love you." Just always telling people that he loved them, and he was always serving and sacrificing, because that's what real love does. So you think about the cross. You think about Jesus leaving his comfortable place in heaven, leaving the angels serenading him every morning, leaving the streets of gold and the crystal sea and the mansions and the presence of the Father. There's no sadness in this place. There's no sickness in this place. There's no depression in this place. The Bible says there's no tears in this place. Heaven is perfect joy. And then when we needed a sacrifice, Jesus gave up that place to come here. Here. This is not heaven. Here is where people reject you. Here is when you get lied to. Here is when you experience pain and heartache. Here is when you experience depression. Here is when we have tears, sickness, disease, cancer, divorce, multiple sclerosis, tears, heartache, struggle, pain, hunger. We lose things. People get laid off. People go bankrupt. People lose their jobs. People lose their families. We make mistakes. We suffer the consequences of our mistakes here. So Jesus left there to come here. And when he did, eventually he had crossed the line way too many times with the religious elite of his day. He would do the taboo. He would serve the tax collectors. He would touch the lepers. He would speak to the Samaritan women. He did what was considered unholy. They accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard because his friends were people that ate and drank. They called him a friend of sinners. And so because of that, eventually, when he was 33 years old, they found Jesus in a garden praying because he knew he was about to die, sweating drops of blood. And so the Romans sent the best of the best, these guards, to arrest him. They did. How they found him was one of his own betrayed him. So they arrested Jesus. They paraded him before the multitudes. They put him on trial. They stripped him naked. They put a poisonous crown of thorns on his head. They ripped the skin off of his back with a cat of nine tails. You could see the muscles and the tendons and the bones when they were finished. Historians say that most people would bleed to death and die when you would get whipped with a cat of nine tails. This was called the flogging. They would tie your arms above your head and wrap it around your back and rip it over and over and over again. But they didn't stop there. As they were leading him to the cross, they were spitting in his face, cursing at him. The Bible says that they hurled their words at Jesus. The word picture that we get there was like someone picking up rocks, stones, and throwing them as hard as they can at somebody. They had such vicious words for Jesus. It's like their words were rocks, and they were throwing their words, their derogatory statements at Jesus. And he didn't say a word. The Bible says that he was silent like a sheep before her shearers is dumb. He didn't fight back. He didn't say a word. And then they put nails in his hands. When they did, they crushed his median nerve. If you could imagine what that feels like, I've told you this before, but if you could imagine taking a pair of pliers and mutilating your funny bone, that's the pain that he felt when they put the nails in his hands. They put his feet on top of each other, and they put a 9-inch spike through his feet. And so when he would breathe, he would have to push up on that spike, and it would rip his skin. He would have to pull up with his hands, and those nails would rip his skin. And he did that for hours and hours until he finally died. 3 days later, the earth began to shake. The stone was rolled away. Midday turned into midnight. Jesus looked at the grim reaper in the face and said, "I win." And he rose from the dead, which is why we base our faith off of this, because without the resurrection, there is no faith. Jesus is real. He's not a fable. He's reality. We can feel him in our spirits and in our souls. We commune with him. We walk with him. But before the resurrection, there had to be a death, painful, a struggle. And before that death, there had to be a step. Jesus took the first step towards us. After he took that step, he experienced heartache and pain. And after the pain was over, joy arrived. The resurrection was here. Sometimes, in order to change your life, sometimes in order to get back on the path that you know you need to get back on with your marriage, your relationships, your finances, your health, your mental health, your habits, your patterns for your future, for your life. Sometimes in order to get back on the path that you know you need to get back on and to reach the preferred future that you want for your life in your walk with God, sometimes you just have to take one step. See, some of you right now know that you need to make some tough decisions. And I don't know what tough decisions that you need to make right now. I know what decisions I need to make, but you know what decisions you need to make. So what do you do when you're stuck and you're paralyzed, but you know that you have to make this difficult decision? And this decision is going to produce fear and panic and heartache and chaos. But you know, if I'm going to get to my preferred future in my life and in my walk with God, I have to make this decision, but it's so scary right now. What do you do then? This is what you do. You simply build up enough courage to take the first difficult step. No one's going to take it for you. God's not going to make you do that. But if you can build up enough courage to take the first difficult step, then God will take you the rest of the way, and you'll start to see your circumstances unfold. And you'll find peace. You think about when all the disciples were in the boat, the storm was raging. Jesus wasn't with them. He had been taking a nap. But then he decided he wanted to go meet the disciples in the boat on the sea. So he didn't get in a boat to go meet them. He just walks on water. When the disciples see him walking on water, they think he's a ghost. They're scared to death. Peter finally realizes that's Jesus. So Peter says, "Jesus, can I do that? This looks scary, but you teach us that we're supposed to follow in your footsteps to be like you, to be Christ-like. You're walking on water. Can I do that?" And you would think Jesus would say, "Impossible for you. Don't try this. I'm the Son of God." But Jesus said something that just caused Peter to either poop or get off the pot. Jesus said, "Yeah, come on." So then Peter's like, "Uh-oh. Anybody else want to join me? No. I guess I need to step out of the boat." Scary. There's going to be a struggle. But what's waiting on the other side? A breakthrough. What decision do you need to make right now? What difficult choice have you been wrestling with in your mind, and you know, if I'm going to get to my preferred future, instead of living a life of regrets over and over again, I need to take this step. I need to go to rehab. I need to apologize. I need to make that doctor's appointment. I need to call that therapist and set up a session. I need to pray with the pastor. I need to pray with my family tonight. I need to talk to someone who has wisdom from the outside looking in. I need to quit my job. I need to start something new. What step do you need to take? What action do you need to break? What habit do you need to take care of? What relationship do you need to restore? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to apologize to? Who do you need to show love to because they're hurting? Who do you need to serve because they're broken? What do you need to do in order for you to have peace, finally? It's scary. It's difficult. But you know what it is. It's a step that you need to take. You know what that step is. What you need to do is get up. Get out of the boat. When you do, you'll find that your circumstances will start to unfold. There'll be some pain at first. There'll be some fear and struggle at first. But waiting on the other side is the joy of a new resurrected life. Change, peace, hope, joy. That's how good God is. So take that step. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful week. Don't forget, Sunday, January the 31st, 11 o'clock. Let's have church together. Food Pantry Sunday. Let's serve. Thank you so much.
Man, what a great message from our pastor, Pastor Tony, this morning, where he brings to light trusting God with the first step. So what's your first step into the life that God's calling you to? If you felt moved by the message, make sure to hit us up on social media at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and at Water's Edge_LC on Instagram. And if you have the church app, make sure to hit us up on there where you can do online giving, listen to online worship, and also listen to more messages from Pastor Tony. Don't forget, Sunday, January the 31st is our next Food Pantry Sunday. And if you want to volunteer, make sure to be here about 10 o'clock because the Food Pantry starts at 11. We absolutely love you guys. Have a great weekend.